We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. How 3D printing will transform the world, the coming new industrial revolution in capitalism, and then PricewaterhouseCoopers unveils its top 10 emerging cities in the U.S. That's all tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Richard Devaney is a professor at Dartmouth Tuck School of Business, which is the best business school in the nation, according to my unbiased opinion as an alum. He's the author of the bestseller Hyper Competition, which recognizes one of the world's top management strategists. He advises Fortune 500 companies, including many of the world's top CEOs. His Harvard Business Review column, 3D Printing Will Change the World, is among the most popular columns ever published in the history of that magazine. That's the only mention of Harvard we'll have here tonight. Richard's new book, The Pan-Industrial Revolution, How New Manufacturing Titans Will Transform the World. Welcome back, Professor.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm very pleased to be here.
And this is a book that definitely looks around corners. First off, tell folks exactly what 3D printing is and how it differs from traditional manufacturing.
Sure. Well, 3D printing is not just one technology. It is many technologies lumped together. The primary difference between 3D printing and conventional manufacturing is that conventional manufacturing starts with a block of metal and then drills it and carves off pieces until it reduces it to the shape you want. So that's called subtractive manufacturing. Additive manufacturing doesn't start with a block. It puts a layer down and then a layer and a layer and a layer on top of that. So it's like repeated 2D printing until the material adds up to the shape that you want it to be. So that makes for a very big difference in terms of how much material you waste and what kinds of shapes you can make.
And people may be thinking this is kind of small stuff, but you talk about eventually jet engines could be built in additive manufacturing.
Not eventually, already.
Okay.
It's already happening. One of the things that's holding up the adoption of additive manufacturing is the first wave of 3D printing was romanticized and hyped that every person in the world would be making stuff in their garage.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned out to be a big flop. And so people are being cautious about it, but in the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen some major advances that are allowing industrial applications.
Do you see this as sort of reversing the decline in manufacturing in the U.S. ultimately and upending low-cost labor nations' advantages?
Yes, I do, because basically most of the work in the manufacturing process is now automated. So in the United States, we might produce more It's not clear whether it will create more jobs, but at a very minimum, what it does is it means we don't have to buy so much stuff that's made overseas, and that's going to affect basically the economic model of Asian countries, especially China.
What do you mean then? What's your vision for this pan-industrial titan you're talking about?
Sure. One of the great things about additive manufacturing is its flexibility. With conventional manufacturing, you have limitations, and in order to switch from one product to another, you have to stop your line, you have to make molds and dyes and so forth, and they cost a lot of money. They take a long time to do, a few months, and then it's very disruptive to your manufacturing. So you have to save up a lot of changes until you get to a big change. With additive manufacturing, though, it's basically a file, a computer file with all of your design instructions that go into the printer. And you don't have to change the anything in the printer in terms of retooling. And literally, you can go from one product to a completely different product. So the consequence of this is we'll have firms that will build capabilities such that 1 hour they can, or 1 day they can make bicycle parts. The next day they can make automobile parts. The day after that they can make parts for ships. Or the day after that they can make, you know, small metal braces for holding up shelves. And it can go on and on and on like that. So what do you call a firm like that? What industry is it in?
You know, it's interesting, too, because it seems to me like right away it hit me that this is sort of manufacturing competence-based across industries as opposed to normally sales or market niches, right?
Yes. Well, I think that customization is going to be a relatively small part of the use of additive manufacturing, and that mass manufacturing is really within our reach right now because of three or four major developments that have taken place in the last 2 years or so.
Let me ask you this. If conglomerates are out of favor generally, how does your vision of pan-industrials differ from conglomerates?
Yeah, it's very different because a conglomerate is usually organized so that there's separate divisions. They hardly talk to each other. If they go after synergies, it's very expensive to find them and to get cooperation across boundaries. And basically what those firms offer is accounting controls and usually a management university so that there's lots of talent. And then finally they can borrow at a lower cost of capital than the subsidiaries themselves could have borrowed because they're much larger. So that's a typical conglomerate. The pan-industrial won't be organized around different products. At its core, it will have a additive manufacturing system capable of making many products. And, in fact, it will make many products at the same time, embedding them in each other. So you can print your cell phone, the body and the wires and electronics into the walls of your cell phone, rather than having an electronics division and a division that works with plastic injection molding. So the boundaries won't exist the way they do now. They'll be around the processes to make different products. And there'll be digital platforms that tie the whole network of your printers together. Those printers will be located close. So it'll save a lot of transportation costs. And the super flexibility will play into very fuzzy boundaries for these firms rather than the discrete ones that are set around the conglomerate's divisional structure. So basically what happens here is two things. One is the convergence of several industries into making products that are integrated and don't have assembly lines. And two is the possibility for operational synergies, because all of the different businesses will share the same manufacturing and industrial platform. So the reason that conglomerates are disliked is because there's no synergies being captured. In fact, I was talking to Larry Bossidy a long time ago now, but he was at the tech school and to speak in my class. And when I was walking him out to the parking lot, he said to me, "I never met a synergy that was worth the trouble of finding." This is when he was vice chairman of GE.
Yeah, I was interested when I read that. I will talk about GE in a sec, by the way. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell on Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. You can go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen over the Internet, access our podcasts. Who are the likely pan-industrial titan winners in the next segment?
Want more business content? You need BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. With BizVod, you can watch the business videos you want to watch when you want to watch. Search for topics that interest you. Available on Roku and Web TV, and soon on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, iOS, and Android. With BizVod, you don't have to wait for business content. You are in control with hundreds of business shows and clips available on demand. Log on to BizVod today and use promo code RADIO for your first month free. That's right, for a limited time, your first month is free with no obligation. You can cancel anytime. Membership to BizVod is only $49.95 for the year. That's less than $5 a month. Again, the promo code for your first 30 days free is RADIO. BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. Log on to bizvod.com and join today.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
And we're back with a professor from Tuck at Dartmouth, leading strategic thinker, Richard Devaney. And we're going to look at some of the potential Penn Industrial Titan winners. And I want to start, ask you about GE. Tell us why you think they would be. But right now, they're in a cash crisis. And, you know, can they have a long-term focus to get where you think they need to do to be a winner here?
Well, GE is such a pity. They were way out in front of everybody in one type of additive manufacturing, which was very high-end. Metal production of moderate size volume, maybe up to 10,000 units. And these were high temperature metals that they had, you know, really started to master. And they were for use in extreme environments. So the problem that went awry for GE was twofold. One, they had the opportunity to buy up the world in that portion of additive manufacturing and become the dominant player, but they were unable to do that because they didn't invest properly due to all their other troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they also kind of messed up on the digital platform. They were going to build it around Predix, but Predix is the wrong platform to build around.
Why is that, by the way, briefly? Why is GE Predix, I thought, was going to be a big success?
Yeah. Unfortunately, an awful lot of GE was smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
With their, you know, eco-imagination,
yeah,
ads and so forth. They had masterful PR that wasn't really backed up by performance and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this idea was one of those things that wasn't carried through. Predix is based, they were trying to take an aspect of their products, which was the ability to feed back information to the company.
Yeah.
And this was called asset management because they could predict when machines were going to fail, parts needed to be replaced, a whole slew of things like that that was basically repairs and maintenance.
So you see Siemens and Jabil, which is a contract electronics firm that I hadn't even heard of, you see them, yep, building a more successful pan-industrial digital platform.
Yes, I do. They're each taking different approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Jabil, I think, is the furthest ahead at this time. It's got a tremendous supply chain management core, which they've been adding functionality to over time. And they test it out on their internal contract manufacturing to make sure it works. And then they make it available to clients and hook in their entire network or business ecosystem into that platform.
All right. Any other big winner or wild card out there?
you know, the problem is, again, it's right at the beginning stages of this. But I think there are multiple conglomerates out there outside the United States, like Sumitomo and maybe Samsung, who, if they play their cards right, will ultimately end up being pan-industrials. Sumitomo, I know, has already made investments buying up some 3D printing manufacturers for their internal use. And United Technologies, I know, has bought some. So some of these old conglomerates may make the switch. And then there's one other one that we really can't count out. So far, it hasn't gone too well for them, and that's IBM.
Yeah, I was wondering about them.
Yeah, you can't count them out, though, because, you know, they have a lot of geniuses there, and they've got a good brand name and global distribution. They started to sell a product called software-defined manufacturing, in which they integrated together all kinds of manufacturing software to create a platform. But they had a big problem selling it because of a couple of reasons. First was they didn't know who to sell to in the companies because they're used to talking to CIOs. And they're not the ones that make the decision here. They might be part of the decision, but you really have to convince a CEO and head of manufacturing and CFO that this is what's right. And so they didn't have the Salesforce configuration that was necessary to sell it. And the second big issue was they tried to sell it all as a giant bundle. You know, convert over your whole system, and now you're part of IBM because they absorb every piece of information you've got.
Yeah.
And companies didn't want to take the risk, especially after years of trouble with SAP installations.
Yes, yes.
That went bad. And so you could ruin your whole company by taking a big jump.
All right. Let me ask you this, Richard. In the last 2 minutes, are these entities from a social and political impact? You say in the book some of them are going to be more powerful than nation states. Is this going to be good on net? Are we going to get social unrest with technology and employment? How do you net it out?
In the really, really big picture, it's going to be great for people. Yes, some people may lose their jobs, but others will get higher, but new jobs will be created, not as many, but they're going to be much higher paying. Number two, the balance of trade between the United States and Asia will shift because we won't be buying things. That will set off and trigger a lot of geopolitical shifts that will prevent China, I believe, from ultimately becoming the world leader and applying its unique brand of capitalism and lack of human rights to the rest of us. And then finally, I think there's going to be a lot of things that can happen which will help with sustainability. You can make products more fuel efficiently by redesigning them in ways that can't be done in traditional manufacturing processes. And you can build things that will create food, like artificial coral reefs that become fisheries. So lots of great things on balance, but democracy and capitalism will have to adjust to their presence. And so a little less democracy and a little less capitalism, because there's going to be a lot fewer companies. It'll be these big giant pan-industrial collectives of, you know, a giant firm with all of its suppliers against another group of people or companies, rather, that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, this is a brave new world he's describing, really revolutionary, thanks to Richard Devaney. It's a radical manifesto. In fact, the pan-industrial revolution, how new manufacturing titans will transform the world. Richard's agreed to stay on. We're going to do it a little bit more. That'll appear in the YouTube version of the show. You've been listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Coming up, apologies to David Letterman, the top 10 emerging cities from PricewaterhouseCoopers.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness, or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair, and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
All right, now in its 40th year, PricewaterhouseCoopers Emerging Trends in Real Estate, the 2019 report is just out. And we will unveil the top 10 emerging cities in the nation and key real estate trends, a report from PwC and the Urban Land Institute tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Mitch Rochelle is a partner at PwC, currently serves as one of the firm's business development leaders, founder of PwC's real estate advisory practice. He's widely recognized commentator on real estate, housing, business trends, capital markets, the retail industry, and the economy, all of which we've talked about on our show. He's also a regular guest and panel member on Fox Business Network with Maria Bartiromo and Bloomberg TV. Mitch is the creator and co-host of 7-Day Yield, a PwC-sponsored weekly YouTube program covering trends in the financial services industry. He's the co-publisher of Emerging Trends in Real Estate. A lot of stuff here. Serves as trustee of the PwC Charitable Foundation, where he does a lot of good stuff, grant-making efforts in youth education and financial literacy. And PwC's partner in Real Estate Trends and the Emerging Cities Survey is the Urban Land Institute, nonprofit education and research institute, mission to provide leadership in the responsible use of land and in creating and sustaining thriving communities worldwide. This is the third year we've done this in a row, so it's always great to have him back in studio. And as we talked before, we both have twins, and my second twin got married, so a big event.
Wow, congrats, Jim.
Yeah, up in Saratoga, and both your kids went off to college.
They're off to, I'm an empty nester.
Yeah.
That's why I was late this morning, because I had to walk the dog myself.
All righty. First of all, tell us again the quick overview on what the purpose is, how you go about doing it.
Well, thanks, Jim. We interview, and this year was a record, 2,400 real estate professionals really from around the globe. And you mentioned Urban Land Institute. They're our partner in this endeavor. And we tap into their vast global membership. And we ask a series of questions, and we follow up with literally hundreds and hundreds of interviews of some of the folks who responded to the survey just to get perspective. And you also mentioned that this is the 40th anniversary of doing this, which is really special. So we've also had some interesting takeaways, which I'm happy to share about what we've learned over the course of 40 years of studying people's sentiments around real estate.
Okay, you've got some leading trends, by the way, named very well, too, like amenities going wild, et cetera. But go ahead how you want to go through them. I know it starts off with talent and economic diversity. I was wondering what that means, actually.
Well, if you look at the way the economy has grown, and one of the things just to sort of frame this all, I mentioned 40 years. So if you look at the size of the commercial real estate market 40 years ago, it was about $250 billion. That's U.S. If you go forward 40 years later, it's over $6 trillion. And what's interesting is this report, Emerging Trends in Real Estate, was actually created by a life insurance company 40 years ago to figure out from their customers what kind of real estate investments they wanted to make. Because if you were an institutional real estate investor back then, or my kids would say back in the day, what you would do is you would go to typically a life insurance company, and they would make investments in trophy assets. That's really the only thing that they invested in. And if you go behind that in terms of why, and this is one of our big takeaways, the chief investment officer, the chief economist of the pension trust, typically these were pension investment dollars, would say we have to allocate X to real estate, 2%, 3%, whatever, of the overall pie that they were investing. So what happened, real estate at the time was an obligation. It wasn't an opportunity because these money managers had this obligation. We have to put money to work in real estate. You fast forward to today, what's happened is real estate investment, and I'm talking about commercial as opposed to housing, has been completely democratized, and anybody can invest in commercial real estate at any time in a completely liquid fashion. And one of the questions we asked the respondents to the survey is, what's changed in 40 years? We got a lot of great answers, but if you drill down into each of them, nothing was really all that new. It was just a new name. People talked about securitization of mortgages. You know, big deal. There's actually other ways that mortgages were chopped into pieces 60 years ago, so that really wasn't new. But the real big game changer was not the advent and the creation of the Real Estate Investment Trust, but the proliferation of the Real Estate Investment Trust, a publicly traded vehicle that let a retail investor in the smallest increment of actually one share, if they wanted to, could buy a piece of a portfolio that was the same style portfolio that in today's speak, 40 years ago, only sophisticated institutional investors could invest in. So that's really interesting. So in response to your question, that's what's really changed, that the sources of capital for real estate investment are global, and the ways that that capital can be deployed are almost exponential.
That's why my dad worked for Allstate, so I knew that too. They had a lot of fixed income investments like that of an institutional nature. I guess it also bodes well for the investment potential, right? It's no longer looked at as an obligation, but it's a lot of demand.
We've created tremendous liquidity in the market, and that's why you go from $250 billion 40 years ago to $6 plus trillion today.
Okay, you want to get into some of the leading trends?
Sure. So you mentioned amenities gone wild, and I'm just going to sort of jump and take these in no particular order. What's interesting is if you are a developer of an office building or, let's say, an apartment building, the types of amenities that you need today are radically different than the types of amenities that you needed before. So let's give an example. In an office building, gym facilities, showers, full-service cafeterias, baristas, some of those are amenities that go into tenant space, and some of those are amenities that may be in the common area. But this is something that's necessary for the workforce today, for tenants to attract workers and for landlords to attract tenants. If you look at an apartment building, yeah, Wi-Fi, as far as I'm concerned, high-speed internet is table stakes. You got to have it, whether it's an office building or even a mall for that matter. But what's interesting is the number one thing that seems to be prevalent is having a professional-style kitchen somewhere in the common area, because tenants actually don't want to entertain in their apartments. They want to entertain in a common area so that they could have bigger groups of people together. Also, other common space, and we've all lived in apartment buildings in our lives that had a multi-purpose room, but there's common areas that have workstations, because there's a communal feel to these apartments, all of which are in common area, which means the landlord needs to provide that for the benefit of all the tenants, and in all these cases, figure out a way that gets paid for. So the gone wild is the types of amenities that we have today aren't our parents' amenities, let's put it that way. Or are we our parents, so maybe our amenities.
Let me ask you one here, and then you can pick whatever you want to
sure.
go for. But real retail space is not dead. It's a particular interest to me because I used to do the show Thursday night on the failure or the death of Sears, which is a very sad thing, because I mentioned my dad worked for Allstate.
Yeah. What's interesting about retail is I think we're building new retail space at the right pace. Interesting thing, one of the things, and you and I have talked about this in the past on your show, is we've been fairly predictive in emerging trends, and we've talked about things before they've happened, which we're very proud of, but we don't always get it right. And back in 2004, we said, which real estate sub-asset class, would be apartments or retail or office, is going to be disrupted by technology? And 70% of the respondents that year said that retail would not be disrupted by technology. Boy, were they wrong. So what's interesting, though, is the peak of new construction of retail was about 2008, just sort of right around the time of the financial crisis. Since then, it's fallen off precipitously. So there really isn't much new retail being created. What's out there is being repurposed and in some places, rightly so, demolished. So we're at the equilibrium point. But by the same token, retail is making a resurgence because the balance between e-commerce and what I call stick and brick, or some people call brick and mortar retail, is beginning to get hit. And the one thing to remember is of all retail sales, e-commerce is only 10% of all retail sales. So the other 90%, maybe the ratio is shifting, and next year it'll be 11%, 89%. But you still need brick and mortar retail for that 89 or 90%.
How does that relate to this last mile industrial development?
So that's the craziest thing. We at PwC, independent of the work we do with ULI, did a survey, and we found that of all of the different delivery options that people may have to pay for, okay, people who are online shoppers were willing to pay for same day delivery the most. proportionate to whether next day or 2 day or any kind of delivery. So the reality is there's appetite for same day, and there is no infrastructure in place for same day. So what's euphemistically referred to as the last mile is it comes from a factory anywhere on the planet, but how does it get from the last place it was to your door in time? That's the thing that the most investment dollars are needed. You know what the most common warehouse is for that last mile? A truck, right? Because they'll load a truck someplace, and then they don't know where to do it because they don't have a landing area in Greenwich, Connecticut. There's no big warehouse facility in Greenwich, Connecticut, where we're sitting right now. So it sits in a truck in a driveway someplace. That's not a really efficient use for distribution purposes. So,
all right, we got 1 minute to go in this segment. What would you call the biggest other trend you haven't talked about?
I would say that the optimism of real estate investors today, so late in the cycle, is virtually the same as it was a year ago, which is either cause for concern because
interest rates are going up.
Interest rates are going up. There's global economic slowdown, not U.S. economic slowdown, but global economic slowdown. And the flow of capital for real estate comes from around the planet, and the U.S. dollar is getting expensive. So there's a lot of reasons to be cautious, but the folks who responded to our survey were as bullish today as they were a year ago.
All right, listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell, and coming next, what you've all been waiting for, the top 10 list that we do every year. This year, the 40th year version.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
And we're back with Mitch Rochelle, our final segment, and of course what everybody's been waiting for, the top 10 list. And a bunch of them are in one state, by the way. I was pretty impressed. And not a big state either.
And what does that state have in common with the other state that the rest of them are in? So we'll get to that.
All right, and the number 10, that's kicking
off. Have Letterman music there? The number 10 is Tampa St. Pete. For the first time in the top 10. Interestingly enough, about 3 years ago, I was speaking in Tampa at a conference, and the keynote speaker was Bob Buckhorn, who's the mayor of Tampa. And then I went and presented the results of emerging trends. And afterwards, his aide was standing there and said, "Do you have a minute?" And the mayor wanted to talk to me. And he looked me in the face. He says, "Mitch, Tampa's number 30. What does it have to do to be number one?" And we talked for a while.
Wow.
And when the report came out for press embargo, which is when we sent it to you, Jim, I sent him a copy and said, "Do you remember the conversation?"
Not bad.
Yeah, right. So what do they do? And I think this speaks to a lot of the cities. Several administrations ago, the mayor of then mayor of Tampa decided to invest meaningfully in infrastructure in the city. And where they picked was the waterfront. They looked at San Antonio, Texas, that had created this great Riverwalk experience, and they said, "We're going to do that in Tampa." And that project went across multiple administrations. It wasn't political. Different city council, you know, could have leaned left, could have leaned right. They stuck with it. They put public money up. They put private money up. It's fantastic.
It's paid off.
Paid off and revitalized the downtown, created a place where people want to live, created a place where people want to work, created a place that people want to play. That live, work, play model is existing downtown Tampa, and downtown Tampa was left for dead several administrations ago, and that's what puts it into the top 10.
And notice you mentioned politics did not play a big
politics
part.
Did not play a role in that, which is interesting.
Okay, go ahead.
Charlotte's number two. Charlotte's
number
really,
nine.
Number nine. I'm going backwards. Yeah. That's why it's number two. Charlotte's really a story. I mean, Charlotte's been in the top 10 for a little while. It's really a diverse economy down there. You have big banks, you have other employers, but most importantly, it's an affordable city. Denver, which is becoming a little bit less affordable, is very millennial friendly. I don't want to make it all about the millennials, but they've invested in infrastructure too. They have a light rail system, so people don't have to be car dependent.
Does legalized pot have anything to do with
You know what? We've been trying to take a look at that, and I didn't want to say we've been studying it because people are going to listen to this and try to figure out, you know, how many dispensaries we went to along the way. But we've been trying to study it. It does boost the economy locally. But it's not enough. It creates tourism. There's definitely tourism bang for the buck there, but not enough to really make that big of a difference.
The only one on the East Coast, I mean, up here.
Is Boston, and I was just there 2 weeks ago. If you look at South Boston and what they've done there, you know, to develop it between downtown, basically, and the airport, massive investments in infrastructure that span multiple administrations. Austin, Texas has been number one. The reason why it's moving down is two things. One, there may be a need for an infrastructure spend there. The traffic there is atrocious if you've been there. And also, it's becoming a little crowded, not in terms of population, but in terms of the number of investors who want to go there. Nashville made it into the top 10 a couple of years ago. Nashville is sort of very similar to Austin, and they both have the same dynamic. Vanderbilt in the case of Nashville, UT Austin in the case of Austin. You've got a feeder of young folks who have the right skills for the workplace, so employers
and the wages are like double the average of other country. So
it's a great model. Austin's becoming a little pricey to live. Nashville could get up there. Orlando's in the top 10. One thing about Orlando, in a full disclosure matter, I picked Orlando as my HQ2 location. I was wrong about that in terms of it making a short list for HQ2, but I was not wrong in terms of the reasons why the workforce is growing and the population is growing in Orlando. It's a very affordable place. Raleigh-Durham, number three. The Raleigh-Durham is sort of like, I'll come back to who's number one in a second, but they're somewhat two discrete markets. But if you look at them, they have the same thing that Austin does, Boston does, and Nashville does, which is this tremendous feeder program of the schools that are down there. And there's more diversity of schools in
Raleigh-Durham. It's all STEM type of stuff?
A lot of STEM, a lot of creative skills in the arts that are relevant for the workplace. Number two is Brooklyn. I'm asked often, what surprised you the most? Yeah. And I'm still scratching my head. So when I saw the preliminary list, Andy Warren is my colleague who does the most of the research around this. I said, Andy, this has got to be wrong. Can't be right. Cannot be right. How can Brooklyn be number two? And the number one is Dallas-Fort Worth. Dallas has been in the top spot two of the last 3 years. And the reason for that is it's a very affordable city. The population is growing like crazy. People are moving there from other places in the country. Which
is it an energy job still, or is it
no? It is the most economically diverse market you can. And the problem is, folks of our age, Jim, think of Dallas and energy because of the television show in the 70s, because they were in the oil and gas business. But
out of date, Mitch.
Yeah, we're old. Fact of the matter is, it's an incredibly diverse economy and a place where startups are looking to sort of incubate themselves because there's a lot of venture capital. But you mentioned small states. So let's look. We've got Texas. We've got Florida, two no-tax states. And then we have a few low-tax states. So when people are making...
That doesn't bode well for Connecticut.
Yeah, or New York. When people decide where they want to live, tax efficiency is factored into the affordability model. And that trend has been happening for a while, and it's continuing. And I don't know which is tail and which is dog here, but the fact of the matter is affordability is driving population growth, and population growth is
driving.
Now,
I see young workforce going through all of this too, right?
Right.
And is that really the reason that GE left Connecticut to go to Boston, right? Because talent is up there.
I would say it this way, and I wouldn't point to one company because I think it's a bigger trend. I would say that jobs chase people, not the other way around. So we have a 3.7% unemployment rate. We have 7 million, as we sit here, open jobs. We have less people in the workforce than we do job openings in the workforce. So what happens? Jobs chase people. And so you find we're in a virtuous cycle in many of these cities where companies are going there because they know that there's people there. And when they find that it's affordable to do business or it's a business-friendly environment, like some of these places that are very tax efficient, what do? They stay and they create more jobs, and then you get a great little virtuous cycle.
Emerging Trends in Real Estate 2019 report from PwC and the ULI. 40 years of reports that we have highlighted every year. Where can people get it, Mitch?
PWC.com/US/ETRE. And you can download a copy of the report. And there's also some great interactive tools in there if you want a little bit more information on those cities. So it's PWC.com/US/ETRE. Or you can follow me on Twitter and I'll...
There's a lot
direct
of
message you a copy. How's that?
There's a lot of interesting stuff in the big book there, the 100-page one. Thanks to Mitch Rochelle. It's always an honor to have PwC around it, where they have quality people like Mitch running it. Thanks to our national audience for listening. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.